Would you like to pick it up from that side? John chapter 3, John chapter 3. Chichewa, you read from there, the English will come from here. So our service today will be done in the following manner. Our friends and brothers in Duma, led by our brother, will be leading us a worship song from that time, and they will be blessed with it. And our brothers from Duma will sing for us. Our brother Will will be in our chair from George to the tree. He will come next year. What's the vision? I'm going to go from that over there. Can you imagine that? All right. So, let me ask the brother Peter and the church there to sing unto the Lord. The songs from the Book of Grace songs. Have you got to my
brother? To present him for number 3.
Hey.
No. I'm cruising the Bamsigu.
Oh,
nyimbo bose mabuto.
Iyo dijuru dijuru the thing about the Lord leading us throughout the times of suffering, pain. I think this song was composed by someone who was singing after going through some gospel persecution with the people who did not want the gospel to be preached, and they persecuted Christians. And so it's one of them. If we catch up with a few lines soon about others are being burnt, others are thrown into the water, others are being put in prison, but the Lord guides and gives us the song to sing throughout the time. So even though the world may persecute us, but God leads us and protects us, and the grace of God leads us throughout the times of such times. So that's part of what this song is singing, and it was from our friends and brothers, a sister church, all the way from Tuba, where Brother Peter led the singing with the congregation that is gathering there. I did that deliberately so that we can also have songs. We sing the same songs, we worship the same Lord, same faith, same way of salvation, same gospel. So we also want to be doing sharing that time. So as I said, on Brother Willie will be reading for us. Today's reading comes from, according to Gospel of John chapter 3, the new birth. And I think Brother Willie, you are going to read it for us, line after line, word after word. And I think it's now your turn to read for us, please, from verse 1 to verse 17.
Yohane chapter 3, kuyambira verse 1 kulekeza 17.
You go to the verse 21.
Okay, Jabin. Okay, thank you. Maotogula kuti Yesu akuzita ni kwa bano kwa tobano. Kwa mabanani mtu wa Farisi, ina lake Nikodimo, mkuru wa Yuda. Yeyu anaza kwa Yesu usiku nati kwa iye, labi tizi wakuti inundino mkuzizi wojogera kwa Mungu, wakuti palile hako za kuchita zizitikiro zimene inumuzi chita ngati Mungu sakala naye. Yesu anaya nganati kwa iye, indetu indetu ndine na ndi iwe, ngati mundu sabada mama mwatsopano sako za kuona ufumu wa Mungu. Nikodimo ananena kwa iye, mtu akoza bwanji kubadwa akabalamba, kodi akoza kulowasu mimba ya maji ndi kubadwa? Yesu anayanka, indetu indetu ndine na ndi iwe, ngati mtu sabada mwamazi ndi mzimu sakoza kulowa ufumu wa Mulungu. Chobala mtubi chikala mtubi, ndipo chobala mwamzimu chikala mzimu. Usalabwe chifukwa minari kwa iwe uye nila kubadwa mwatsopano. Verse 8, pepo iomba umwe ifuna, ndipo ugumva mawache umasudzi wa kumene icho kira ndi kumene imuka. Chodero ali Yesu bada mwamzimu, Nikodimo ananka nati kwa iye, izi zingachoke bwanji? Yesu ananka nati kwa iye, kuli kodi uli mphunzitsi wa Israeli ndipo sudziwa izi? Indeku ndine na ndii ndine na kwa iwe, kila mkula chimene tichidziwa ndipo tichita umboni zimene tationa, ndipo umboni watu simuulandira. Ngati ndakuwuzani za pansi pano ndipo simukhulupira, mudzakhulupira kwanji ngati ndikuwuzani za kumwamba? Ndipo kulibe munthu anakwera kumwamba koma iye wotsikayo kuchokera kumwamba, ndiye mwana wa munthu wokhala mwambayo. Ndipo monga Mose anakweza njoka mchipululu, chotero mwana wa munthu ayenera kukwezedwa kuti yese wakukumbira kali nao moyo osata mwaiye pakuti mulungu anakonda dziko lapansi kuonera kuti anabata mwana wake obala yekha kuti yese wakukumbira iye asatayike koma kali nao moyo osata pakuti mulungu sanatuma mwana wake kuti dziko lapansi kuti akaweruse dziko lapansi koma kuti dziko lapansi likapumutsidwe ndi iye wokumbira iye saweruzidwa wosakumbira iye waweruzidwa ngakhale tsopano chifukwa sanakumbira dzina la mwana wobadwa yekha wa mulungu koma chiweruziro ndi ichi kuti kuwunika kunadza ku dziko lapansi ndipo anthu anakonda mdima koposa kuwunika pakuti ntchito zawo zinali zoyipa pakuti yese wakuchita choto zoyipa adana nako kuwunika ndipo sakudza kwa kuwunika kuti zingatsutsidwe ntchito zake verse 21 koma wochita choonadi adza kukuwunika kuti ntchito zake zikazionekere kuti zinachitidwa mwa mulungu. Over to you, Brother James.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. That's one of the most misquoted chapter from our World Works Religion, which all of us we had. This chapter 3 has other two important areas where we misquoted it and we mispreached it. One of them is the new birth, as it is commonly known in the vocal religion of Pentecostalism, whereby people, you go out there and lead people in prayers and say, because I have led you in these prayers, you have been made born again from today. Mm. And one other area also, that chapter has also received a lot of misquotation. It's from verse 16 where people believe that for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. It goes on up to verse 19 saying, and this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world and the men loved the darkness because they did so on and so forth. And in verse 16, it's like Jesus came to save the world. And that's how it is preached. Even after we are out of that system, our brothers and our friends over there, they are still preaching the same message that God loved the whole world and Jesus came to die for everybody. And that's what they do. Brothers and sisters, we thank God because long at last, the gospel of truth came to us whilst we were in that system. And by God's grace, we was pleased to open our understanding, open our eyes. What was one of the things that we see in this chapter is the opening of the eyes to see the kingdom.
Amen.
And it's not just religious knowledge, because we meet the man here, the Nicodemus himself, who was theologically well-equipped, and he knew the Bible, he knew the word, he knew the law, but he met the man from above. He met a man from God, and the difference is, he who knows the Bible in this world, but he has never met the man from above. Then there are two people, these two people cannot even talk the same language. So that's the difference we have between the one from above and the one who has got every knowledge of the Bible. And that's very dangerous. That's very, very dangerous. To know the Bible is not being from above. And being born again in this King James Version is being said to be born from above or to be from above. Let's just see, as our friends are following us all over the world as we are continuing the service. This one says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, meaning teacher, we know that you are a teacher from God, come from God. For no one can do these things that you do unless God is with him. That's the difference. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? That's a normal question from any normal religious person. Jesus answered and said to him, are you the teacher of Israel? Are you pastor? Well, are you elder of the church and do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we see, what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven. That is the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent, that's a powerful statement again, a quotation of what happened in the wilderness. Christ himself was symbolized in the wilderness by the serpent. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That's Jesus Christ. That whosoever believes, not everybody, but whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, you can see that again, whosoever believes in him, that's a separation and selecting and choosing and election, should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Another dangerous verse which has received lots of misquotation. Verse 18, he who believes, again that one, only he who believes in him is not condemned, not every man. But he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and that's Jesus Christ. And men loved the darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates Jesus Christ and does not come to Jesus Christ, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he does that comes to Jesus Christ, the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. Wow. I'll preach to you from there. Let us continue worshiping the Lord by singing number 82, Rock of Ages, from our church here in Longwe. Rock of Ages. Rock of Ages, pray for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water under fire from thy feet be observed that of you. Let me grow if you can find not the labor of my heart. Can forgive my Lord in my heart.
Take our Bibles and look together in Acts chapter 12, and we'll read from verse 5 down to verse 19. I'll read a verse and then let you read in your dialect there. But today's message is deliverance from the Lord. What is deliverance from the Lord? Deliverance from the Lord. Here we see Peter in prison, awaiting to be executed, just like James, the brother of John, at the hands of Herod. And yet, what we find here is that the Lord was pleased to take James by the sword, but to preserve Peter. Such is his right as God. Now it says here in Acts 12 and verse 5, Peter therefore was kept in prison. They were waiting for the Passover to be over. And it says prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Now, thankfully, our times are not in men's hands, they're in God's. And that's what we're going to see here. In spite of every intention of Herod and the Jews and the people against one of the Lord's, we see how the Lord himself exercises his will. You notice verse 6, it says, and when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. We hear false preachers saying that God doesn't violate man's will. That God wills, but he's not going to violate man's will. Well, if that were the case, Peter would be dead. Just like in salvation, if God were to leave it up to our will, we would be dead. None of us would be saved. But here we see the Lord exercising his will in verse 7. It says, and behold, that means take notice, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly, and his chains fell off from his hands. You see, such was Peter's bondage, not only surrounded by soldiers and having chains, that even if it had been up to Peter, he could not have been delivered. This has to be of the Lord.
Mungu
Preachers preach today as if men are free, that they're not bound, and they can make a decision. They can come any time they want to. No, it's more like it's described here of Peter. Unless the Lord delivers, unless the Lord causes the chains of darkness to fall off, then man will remain bound into condemnation.
Kuma kibenzene kwa kutziwa mungu alimu fana na nimele petro anama ngigwira wakule wake ala srikara umuno dela kwa limonyola anama ngigwa niko sanga ache kutzima sula yeka aseka ambuye ajite kutziwa niko mmasula niko mbela mbiesa atzika kummasula mchuyo ajakala wama ngigwa ajapali wama ngigwa sanga ache kutzima sula yeka.
You can see here in verses 8 and 9 that everything that Peter needed to do, the angel instructed him to do, and the Lord strengthened him to do. Otherwise, he was without strength. Says verse 8, the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him. And notice, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. Any who have been delivered by the Lord can testify to this, because we were in darkness and we were in bondage going one way, and the Lord intervenes, opens our eyes to Christ, and now it's a completely different world, and we stand amazed. Wondering, is this a dream, or is this the truth? Is this the reality?
Notice
here in verse 10, no part of this was left up to Peter. It says, when they were past the first and the second ward, these are soldiers that had been handpicked to guard him, and yet blinded and asleep, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, notice, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. Every step, every part, it was the Lord's doing.
Another
Now, if this was a free will preacher, he would be saying to Peter, good job, Peter, for exercising your will and being delivered. But that's not what the scriptures teach. Now, any that have been delivered of the Lord, give the Lord all the glory. Notice how the scriptures put it in verse 11, when Peter was come to himself. That shows right there he didn't have anything to do with it. But listen to his testimony. He said, now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel, his messenger, and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. The Lord hath delivered me. And notice verse 12. When he had considered the thing, the Lord is causing him to ponder just how great a deliverance this was. It says there, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. It says there, and as Peter knocked, verse 13, at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda, and when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. She was astounded. Now I know there are some that are going to say, well, it was because the church was praying without ceasing that the Lord delivered. No, they didn't even believe it. It says in verse 15, they said unto her, thou art mad. They're supposedly praying for him, and yet when he's standing right there at the gate, they don't even believe it. In verse 15 it says, but she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, No, it's his angel. It's a spirit. Verse 16, but Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Now here again in verse 17, we see that when the Lord is pleased to deliver a sinner, that sinner will always give the glory to the Lord. Not to the angel, not to men's prayers, not to their will, but to the Lord. It says there, he beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace. There was quite a stir. Everybody just amazed. He declared, see, that word means to preach. He preached unto them, notice, how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. That's the testimony of any sinner who's been delivered to the Lord. It's how the Lord has delivered. This can be applied spiritually just as physically, that any deliverance from our condemnation, any deliverance from the bounds of our sin binding us, it is the Lord that delivers. It says there, and he said, go show these things unto James and to the brethren, and he departed and went into another place. Now that's obviously another James than the one that was killed. This would be one of the apostles to whom the Lord said, go and tell these things unto James and the brethren. And then he departed and went into another place. Now, here's where we can see this was of the Lord, because as soon as, verse 18, it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers what was become of Peter. Can you imagine? All of these soldiers, not one of them could tell what had happened to Peter. Here again, I see a lesson spiritually when Christ said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against me. Anything that God purposes to do, he does. And the strongest of men are at his bid and his beck and call. They cannot resist. They cannot tell what the Lord has done. The Lord exercises his will.
Yes.
And verse 19 tells us just how great is the Lord's deliverance, because it says, when Herod had sought for him and found him not. This city's not that big. Herod had a lot of men. They could easily go to places where these believers met, and yet they found him not, just like these soldiers could not stop the Lord from doing his work. Says he examined the keepers and commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea in their abode. You see how it is the Lord who determines who lives and who dies? James was killed, the brother of John, with the sword. The Lord so purposed. But Peter, that they had marked out to execute next, the Lord delivered. Such is the will of God. The soldiers that were assigned to guard Peter, the Lord executed them at the hand of Herod, and yet delivered Peter, the one that they had marked out to execute. Hannah, in her prayer in 1 Samuel chapter 2, testified to this in verses 6 through 9, where we read 1 Samuel 2, 6, the Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill, to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. He, notice, he will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness, For by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king, that would be Christ, and exalt the horn of his anointed.
Daudi alimukomboa wa Samuel chapter 2 ndimaya 6 kusika musino mukozo kaona 2251 akuti Yehova amapa na akatsamo iye amatsitsa kumanda na kugitazo Yehova atsaugitsa na alemeza acheza na kuza amu tawawi mbumbi Nanyamula osowa patana. Kukamkalitza kwa zaonga. Chikuli akareda jojo wa cheshi mpando cha ulebele. Chifuku asana nilazo ziko wala pasi. Nzae hopa. Nibuwa iye anakazi za ziko wa hizo. Atasuka mapazi agamara atasunga unene yeyo. Atasuka mapazi au kundelo wa ache. Kama waifao atawa kalisa jete mundima. Pakunti, palipe mtu atapambana mbiha. Otu sanandia hova atapkanila. Kumamba iye atapunda payo. Yehova atawa uzama palepe zero atzigo. Ndipo atapata mpavu fumu yaje. Na atapweza nyanga ya utozula wache.
So coming back here to Acts 12, let's just draw some conclusions here. The first is that deliverance is from the Lord. There's no question that if the Lord purposes to deliver, then none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? In reading this scripture, we can only conclude one thing, and that is that deliverance is of the Lord alone. When Peter, in verse 11, declared that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me. That word delivered means to be plucked out. It's like a firebrand, plucked out of the fire. It wasn't the firebrand that jumped out of the fire. It was the Lord that plucked him out. That's what it is to be rescued. You can see the parallel spiritually, that if we're the Lord's, it's the Lord's hand that reached down and took us out of our condemnation. Otherwise, we could never have saved ourselves. We saw it again in verse 17 when Peter then declared to the brethren what had taken place. He declared immediately unto them how the Lord had brought him up out of the prison. That's how you can tell a message is of the Lord, and that one that's preaching is preaching sent of God, because he gives God the glory from beginning to end.
Chifadari kwa
That was the testimony of John Newton when he wrote the words to that great hymn, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that what? Saved. That's the word delivered. Saved a wretch like me. I once was lost. That means unable to find my way back, but now am found. That's the message of salvation. The Lord finding his sheep. And I was blind, but now I see. All of that belongs to the Lord as far as the glory.
Yes.
Don't you know that this was on Peter's mind and heart when he wrote in his second epistle, 2 Peter chapter 2, concerning the deliverance of Lot and his family from Sodom and Gomorrah? In 2 Peter chapter 2, in verse 6, he speaks of God's righteousness in turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes. And look at the word, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly. Just like here, let this be an example to such that would confide in the flesh like Herod did, and in the strength of their arm, thinking that they can determine what God does or doesn't do. Let them take notice that no, such will be condemned. Notice the word used in verse 7, and delivered. And notice the next word, just Lot. I know a lot of people preach against Lot as if he was some backslidden believer. But no, the Lord looked upon him as a just man. Why? For Christ's sake. And delivered him.
Anyasa.
We don't have time to look at it in depth right now, and this would be a completely different message. But when Lot and Abraham separated because their sheep herders couldn't get along and they were in conflict, Lot knew that God had promised that land to Abraham. And so when even Abraham said, pick whatever direction you'll go and I'll go the opposite, Lot by faith chose to go toward Sodom and Gomorrah, being a place of great evil, that Abraham might be honored in what God had promised him as far as that land was concerned. Lot made a decision based upon how the Lord had directed him to see that the blessing of the Lord was in Abraham. I've heard all kinds of messages, and perhaps we have even preached against Lot as an example of what it is to be a backslidden Christian, and that had he truly been looking to the Lord, he would not have been in Sodom. I will tell you, he was in Sodom because God purposed that he be in Sodom, that he might demonstrate his mighty power in delivering him out of Sodom. I'm sure there are some that would even accuse Peter of being in prison because he wasn't praying enough and he wasn't a man of faith enough, otherwise he wouldn't end up there. That's how people preach it, that if you really are faithful, then you can avoid trouble. You can live above all of this world. But such is not the case. We live, we move, we have our being in the Lord.
But
Peter was just as much the Lord's in prison as when he was out of prison. Lot was just as much the Lord's in Sodom as he was when the Lord delivered it. When the Lord sent his angels to deliver Lot and his family, and again, Sodom and Gomorrah, the word Sodom represents men that are given over to lusts for other men. In other words, homosexuals. That city was a was given over to sexual lusts, for men for men and women for women. And when these came to Lot's door and demanded to know, they wanted to take and literally have sexual relations with these men, not knowing they were angels. Lot, when he opened the door, he presented to them his daughters who were virgins. And I know some people say, well, what kind of father would ever take and offer his daughters to these men? But Lot did it knowing that they had no desire for those women, for those daughters. And it was to condemn them and show them just how far they were gone in their reprobate minds, that he could actually take two virgin daughters and expose those daughters to them, and that's not who they wanted. In fact, they got upset at Lot and told him, they said, who has made you judge over us? See, let God be true and every man a liar. Whatever they have to say about Lot is not what God has to say about him. The scriptures here call him a just man. That is justified by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ when he came and died and paid Lot's sin debt. A just man. And Lot wasn't taking pleasure in the evil of that generation. It says here, delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that, and here it is again, righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds.
Wolong
kururama tsiku ndi tsiku ndi ntchito zawo zosayuzika.
But look at verse 9, and here's where I'm sure Peter could identify, or any of us to the Lord's. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly, that is, those that God Himself has chosen out for Himself, deliver the godly out of the temptations, that is, even the trials, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. It's the Lord that makes a difference.
Ambuye adziwa kufulumutsa otrembeza poyesedwa iwo. Amuona ntanga kuti Mulungu amadziwa kufulumutsa anthu osankhidwa, ochimwa, amadziwa mera kuti awafulumutsire. Nje muonezo akuti ndi kusunga osalungama kufika tsiku la kuweruza akalangidwe. Taonani kusiyanitsa kumene Mulungu ali nako, adziwa kufulumutsa anthu ochimwa ndi kudziwanso kusunga anthu ena ochimwa kuti akalangidwe. Mulungu mwewo.
Notice how it's put. The Lord knows how to deliver. It's the Lord. We don't. We can't imagine it. But the Lord does. If you were to take Peter in his situation, it was impossible. But what is impossible with men, when God purposes it, is possible with God. He does it.
Zikuratidza kuti Mulungu ndiye amadziwa njira yofulumutsira munthu oyipa wochimwa. Kuratidza zvino kuti munthu samadziwa mmene Mulungu amafulumutsira, koma Ambuye amadziwa ndiyeno zvose zimene ndizosatheka ndi anthu zimatheka ndi Mulungu.
Now coming back here to Acts 12, see the first point we're seeing here is that is the Lord that delivers, but secondly, when God uses means to deliver, and He does. He used here His angels. He directed these soldiers to sleep. You see, all of these things, the Lord used means. He directed the prayers of the church unto Himself. But in the end, God gets all the glory.
Kuti muone choyambanana kuti Mulungu ndiamene amapulumutsa. Chachiwiri chipetukula tiphunzire mphunzo lonero chakuti Mulungu ndiamene amadziwa njira yakupulumutsira amene afuna tamupulumutsa. Choyambirira, Mulungu amadziwa kuti lini anenekeralo muvuto ndi kudziwa kuti asilikali anafunika kamulondere, koma asilikali pamulondelera pafunika nthawi yakupulumutsayo anagone tulo. Ndipo atakagona tulo, Mulunguyo akadutsitse anthuwo pamaso paiwowo ali pomwepo, koma atagona tulo musiku mmene zikuonetsa poyera mmene Mulungu amachitira kuti itafika nthawi yake yoti afuna kupulumutsa munthu, amapanga chida chili chonse ali ndi ndondomeko yake yakumutulutsa munthu wake pamene alilipo.
So we can see here that Peter was delivered by the sovereign hand of God, and he was delivered even against his own expectations. Yes, he was sleeping, but we all handle things differently. The Lord put him to sleep. He wasn't fretting through the night. The Lord gave him sleep and rest. And even in that, the Lord was exercising his will. Take Peter out of it. He wasn't up conniving.
Kuti zvimangangwanika kangwanika kukhala kalikiriki kutopeze njira yodzipulumutsira ayi iwe wakhala kwachete sumadziwa mmene kuvulukire. Tamuona ndi Petro wamangidwa munkusakupasa kulo tizigona usamachite makhanda asilikali amenena kukulondera ayi azikulondera kumpasa kulona azigona chipenda ndi nthawi yake yopumula apumule chifukwa chipulumutso chokula mmene mwamu sichili mmanja mwa Yesu yayi chili mmanja mwa Mulungu. Ndiye Petro wagona Mulungu ndiye amaona maso adali maso koma sadalole kuti anthu achamuona kuti chifukwa nthawi yake ndiyo kupumula ya Petro koma atapumula kuti pakwana adanotoke pakwana popumulapo ndipo atalotsata nzake yonse agone akagona nzakewo iwo amtchutse awosiya ati akagona chifukwa iwo wapumula tsopano atuluke azipitira kudera la kwawo mmene mwaopa ndi mmene Mulungu amagwiritsa ntchito njira yake.
That's why Peter had to ponder these things, because he was out of the picture. He was asleep. That's what the Lord does. He takes us out of the picture. And when he was awakened and realized he was outside the gates and free, he realized that this was of the Lord. And that's exactly how our deliverance is. We don't give any credit or glory to the will of this flesh, but it is the Lord that has done his work, and blessed be the name of the Lord. You see, we're all idolaters by nature. So we're going to find something in this story to glorify other than the Lord. We're going to say, well, actually, maybe Peter was praying while he was in prison, so the Lord was answering his prayer. There's some that are going to say, well, let's focus on the angel. Look what the angel did. And now all of a sudden the angel becomes the focus. The writer to the Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 1 and verses 13 and 14 warns us against even giving glory to angels. Evidently, back in the first century, there were some that began to become enthralled with the ministry of angels. And I will tell you, that continues today. Look everywhere you go. People have symbols and pictures of angels. They act as if those angels are the ones that are protecting us and to keep us safe. But it's not. It's the Lord.
You
see in verse 13, Hebrews 1, but to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? That glory is reserved to Christ alone. This is Christ delivering one of his own, not the angel. You can see in verse 6 of the same chapter, again, when he bringeth in the first begotten, that's Jesus Christ, into the world, he saith, what? And let all the angels of God worship him. No matter where we read, all of this is about worshiping Christ who does the delivering, not the angels. Some might ask, well, couldn't God just have caused the soldiers to fall asleep and caused the chains to fall off and then caused Peter to awake and realize that the chains were off and then caused Peter then to walk out? No, that's not how God works. He works through means. He sent a messenger and directed Peter step by step, just like when the Lord was pleased to reveal Christ in us, it was through a messenger bringing us the gospel of Christ. And through that, now, our eyes being open. God is a God of means, but in the end, all the glory belongs unto Him. I truly believe that in any deliverance of the Lord's people, even in our case, we can always go back to Scripture and find the reason in Scripture. It's to the glory of Christ. That's why He does what He does. It's to the glory of Christ. Period. You can see in verse 14 concerning angels, lest we be attracted to the messengers. It says, are they not all ministering spirits? That word spirit means just like the wind. The Lord directs the wind where He will. But notice, sent forth. So they don't go on their own. They're sent as God sends them to what? To minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. An heir doesn't merit salvation. An heir is named in the will. And when the testator dies, then they become beneficiaries. That's an heir. We are heirs with Christ to God. In other words, it's because of His death. And He sends His angels to minister unto such. That's why He sent Peter to be delivered this time. He was one of the Lord's. So we've seen that deliverance is in the Lord. Secondly, we've seen that all the glory belongs unto the Lord. And thirdly, I would just conclude with this, that he delivers in spite of men's expectations. It's true that the Lord caused the church to pray, but it's clear that he didn't answer because of their prayers, because when he delivered Peter, they weren't even expecting the deliverance. We don't even know what they were expecting. The Lord purposed they pray for the exercise of their own hearts, but he didn't deliver Peter because of their prayers. In fact, he delivered Peter in spite of their prayers. He delivered Peter in spite of the expectations of Herod. Herod fully expected. You can see every security that he put in place, he fully expected that in the morning he would bring Peter out and literally sacrifice Peter by killing him to the will of the people. That's what the people wanted. And yet the Lord delivered him in spite of Herod's expectations. The heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord to turn whithersoever he will. Coming back to verse 11, and when Peter was come to himself, he said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod." And here's the third thing we see. He was delivered in spite of the expectation of the people, because it says there, "And from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." They wanted to see Peter dead, these religious people. And yet here's the truth. If God be for us, who can be against us?
Herode ndikuyu chilinganiro chonse cha anthu a Israeli chimene Israeli ndi Herode amafuna kuti Herode Petro aphedwe kumu kwadasinthanitsa ndi kubweretsa kwa chipulumutso mchifake mawu Mulungu amene kuti ngati Mulungu ali ndi ife adzatisumbutsa nani.
All right, I will leave it there and turn it back to you and pray for the Lord's blessing on what we've heard.
Yeah, that's true. Is that so bad?
Sorry?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But anyway, we need to learn from the Lord that wealth is the food is still enjoyable. It's good to say bye so that we don't fast.
Yes. That's right. I would rather you go away still wanting more than going away saying he preached too long.
And this has been some wonderful message indeed. I do recall many parts, just want to agree with you that one other time, of course, those people who have been in world-condemned religions, crusade, and there was a time I preached from chapter 12 of Acts, and I remember me those days titling that message, Prayers of the Church, Saving Peter.
Yeah.
So how it has been a shame to look and to see that even prayer does not save anybody.
Yeah.
And that's right. And how sometimes you focus on something instead of focusing on the Lord and. These were the messages then, but we are thankful, as I said earlier on before we started the
sermon.
There is a total difference from the present view of scriptures comparing to the previous.
Mm. Amen. Thank God it's that way.
Yeah.
He's made a difference.
Yeah. So we are so thankful, brothers and sisters, to Mangula Prabhupada. Those are the messages then which we don't refer to them in a relevant as of today. Those who are Lord's, they know the Lord now as He speaks for the scriptures, and we don't have to remember those things that are first of our mind. Brothers and sisters, wherever you are, I think Brother Peter had a problem with his life, so he disappeared, and now we don't have him. We are three of us, Brother Ken from SS Online, Brother Wile from Cockers Online, and our service from Ilongwe, SS Online. And I know those other people who are listening through their phone and other places. Now I think it's time to close our church service and international service by singing hymn number 2 in our local language. On the cross, near the cross, from Tanda. Number three, Yes, Mundi Sunday, near the cross. Yes, Mundi Sunday, Mabubi, Itanda,
Amen.
Let's look to the Lord. Gracious Father, we're humbled whenever you give us an opportunity to sit quietly, to hear your word, how we need it. Else we would be pursuing our own interests. It's only because of your grace and your spirit that we even have a hunger and a thirst. You have given us life in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that life that he himself purchased for sinners such as we are through his work at the cross. And I'm thankful that you know how to deliver those that are yours. You have delivered, you do deliver, and you shall deliver to your honor and glory and that of your Son. So I pray that you would cause us to be true ministers as we open this word, never to look at any thing or any means that we find in Scripture, any tradition, but to Christ alone, and determine, even as Paul, not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Nothing else matters. And so I thank you for these dear ones that you have caused to listen and worship together today. I pray for them as their day ends there in Malawi or any other place in the world where there are listeners, viewers. But for us here, as our day continues toward the beginning and on through the day, that in all things we would be mindful that we live and move and have our being in you, and that any glory belongs unto your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ alone. And so I pray for a heart to glorify Him alone, for eyes to see Him alone, for ears to hear Him alone, and a mouth to speak to His glory alone. It would be better to be blind or to be deaf or to be dumb of speech rather than to say or see or hear anything other than His voice. And so we commend to you ourselves, knowing that we are in your hands to do with as you will. But our prayer is, Lord, be merciful to us, the sinner. And we give you the praise, honor, and glory in our dear Savior's name. Amen.
Amen.